It's with a burdened heart that I come to bring you this message this morning. As we witness around out to people and gave out Christian literature, I find so many people that's in religion and still say they lost and ruined without God and without hope. And I see so many others that's not even concerned about the Lord or religion, only just a little while at church on Sunday. We're really living in a confused world. And I'd like to make the plan of salvation as simple as I know how to people, that they might, one that don't know the Lord and been born of the Spirit of God, might come to know Him this morning. And the Bible plainly teaches, I don't care how many religions you join to, unless the Spirit of God comes in the temple in your body. The Bible plainly says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So let me beg each one of you, as I bring the Word of God to you this morning, to examine yourself through that still, small voice of your conscience. Because that's the way the Lord deals with people. And be it coming to know the Lord is a deal between you and God, not some priest or some preacher or some soul winner. I had some of them soul winners deceive me when I was 11 years old. A bunch of my friends and me was out in front of the church, and they come out and said, you big enough to join the church this year? And we made it up and went in and joined religion. We nodded our heads a few times. We got in religion. But a man had killed my daddy when I was 9 years old, and I woke up to my daddy laying there dead and him marching back and forth with a pistol. And I done made a resolution that I was going to kill that man as quick as my hands got big enough to do it without any instrument. So I joined in religion with all that hate in my heart. There was no change whatsoever. But I'm so glad this morning I went to old-time preaching where the preacher didn't have but a fifth-grade education, but he knew the Lord. The Holy Spirit was really dealing with people. And in that revival, why he preached on the wrath of God, that sinners was already condemned if they hadn't been born of the Spirit of God. And under that conviction, I prayed from one night to the next. I don't think I slept any because I realized that I was lost and under the wrath of God. When I heard the gospel, and here's something that don't many preachers tell you, but it'll have to happen to you if you ever come to know God. When that man really preached the gospel on the influence of the Spirit to me the first time, it was bad news to me. It was not good news because the Spirit come and convicted me that I was under the wrath of God and lost and ruined without any hope. And that's going to happen to you, have to happen to you if you're born of the Spirit of God. You'll have to first realize that you're lost. As long as you feel secure in religion, you'll never be saved. If somebody deceived you and got you in religion, and I've seen that happen in revivals over and over again. I've been one emotional revival and the preacher get that one night got about 10 people, I think, saved. He bragged about he had got more people saved than was in the ark in Noah's day, but I happened to live around them people that was converted and watched them live their life, and there may have been one out of the 10 that tried to glorify the Lord in their life. All the rest went the ways of the world, some of them to the penitentiaries. So let me beg you, don't be deceived into religion without first being born of the Spirit of God. But when I went the second night of that revival. I'm standing in the seat with that little old Bashful country boy in town. I surrendered to the Lord there in the pew without anybody saying anything. When I called on the Lord for mercy, a little helpless, fatherless boy, God was on the scene and He gave me faith. And all at once I found that my sins and guilt was gone. And I experienced a new birth. The Holy Spirit came into my life and I went on with a different person. If you're ever going to heaven, that's going to have to happen to you. Because the natural man won't receive the things of God. It's only on the influence of the Holy Spirit that you can experience a new birth. You might make 1,000 decisions unless the Spirit's there to give you a new nature and a new heart. You'll still end up lost in the end. And I'm so glad this morning that was 63 years ago and His presence is still with me to guide and comfort me and teach me amid the afflictions and trials of old age. And let me, everyone listen to me, we are in a journey of life that's too great for a soul to face alone. You really need the Holy Spirit to comfort you amid the sorrows and afflictions of life. You need to stop and think what kind of world that we are really living in and go around and look at the old people in the nursing homes and hospitals and people hobbling down the street and see what's happening to people in this world. We're going down through a testing world. And you're going to have sorrows and afflictions and sickness. It's you're living here in the world. Someday you're going to get sick and die in spite of all the doctors and hospitals. And what are you going to lean on when that happens to you or begins to happen? So let me beg you to seek the Lord now. Start this morning to be sure that you've been born of the Spirit of God. It goes over in Ecclesiastes, it said, for us to seek the Creator now before the evil days come and the days come when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. You're going to have a lot of days in your life when things don't go right and sorrow and affliction. You won't have no pleasure in them days. And that's when you're going to need the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God, for He's the only one that can give peace and rest and comfort down in your soul. If you go on down through life with a guilty conscience, you'll really never find any joys in this world, because you'll always have that uneasiness about the future. And the Spirit will be keep on coming and dealing with your conscience, warning you. So this morning, as I read you how David in the Old Testament come to know the Lord, I hope each one listens. If you don't not sure of your relationship with God, when you read the 51st Psalm, David had committed adultery and sent a man out to die. And he thought he had it all covered up till the man of God come along. And you need to search around and find somebody that's really preaching the gospel under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when you find a man like that, he's not going to be telling jokes. I never will forget going down to Montgomery, Alabama to visit my son, and he's going to one of the bigger churches in Montgomery, and he said, we got an educated preacher. He said, they taught us to tell a joke every 10 minutes so we could keep the attention of the people. I went with him to church, and I just spent as good well-off estated homes to hear a man laugh and giggle as them souls out there may be the last time he ever faced them this side of eternity. Then laugh and tell jokes like they was on some kind of a picnic. So you need to search out a man that's really serious in preaching the Word of God and realize his great responsibility. I know I had this happen to me one time. I taught a bunch of young men, about 18, 20-year-old, right in the midst of life. Somebody killed one of them boys the next Wednesday, and I wonder till now that I tell that boy all I should have told him as I stood before him for the last time. Let me warn everyone, listen to me, if you're teaching or preaching or anything, you better remember that may be the last opportunity you'll ever have to talk to someone in your audience. And that ought to bring anybody to their knees. So David realized when this old prophet come and told him about his sins, I won't go into that, that he is guilty of death. According to the law of Moses, he'd be carried out and stoned to death. But he started to seeking after God with all of his heart. And here's what he did. Listen to the 51st Psalm. He come guilty before God. And from Adam to Revelation in the Bible, when a man gets right with God, he has to come guilty before God. The Bible said over in Romans 3:19 that let all mouths be stopped and all the world will come guilty before God because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, for you to have your sins forgiven, you'd have to get a little innocent lamb and bring him up to the tabernacle. The priest was there. You'd lay your hands on that little animal and confess all your sins, and you'd have to slay that little animal and catch his blood in the Old Testament. When anybody was guilty before God and before the fellow man, that's the only way they could ever get their conscience stopped. They take that little innocent lamb and slay him and catch his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The priest would take that blood and sprinkle it up on the altar. And he had power in the Old Testament to claim that man's sins were gone. They'd be gone, but we're living a day when the Lord Jesus Christ has done spilled that blood upon Calvary's cross. And when a guilty soul comes there, guilty, asking for mercy, that's the only way you'll ever find mercy. So you might ask yourself, as I start to read this scripture, did you just join in religion? Or did you experience a new birth, coming guilty before God, and then find out that all that guilt has passed away, and you found out you were forgiven and experienced a new birth? That's the place of people that's going to heaven. David came guilty before God, and he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions and plead for mercy like a hungry man pleading for bread." He wanted his sins blotted out of God's book, and that's what each one listening to me, you better be sure your sins have been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins." He's wanting cleansing now. Listen to this, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sins ever before me. That my transgressions, my sins before me, I'm convicted day and night. I can't sleep at night. I'm guilty, my sins is ever before me." So you better let the Holy Spirit show you all your sins in your life, like that woman at the well. She called, told her friends to come out and see a man that told me everything I ever did. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He point out your sin that you need to repent of. He said, my sins is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He said, it was against the God of heaven when I went and took my neighbor's wife. It was against the God of heaven that when I sent that man out to die. He's guilty, and I've done all this evil in your sight. He's like the prodigal son coming home here. That thou shouldst be clear when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. He realized that the God was judging him justly when he had him there condemned. He goes on to say, behold, I was shaping an iniquity and sin that my mother conceived me. He said, I was born into a rebellious family, the descendants of Adam, didn't love the darkness of sin better than the light of the gospel. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. He said, you're a God that desires truth down in the inward part. And he's wanting to come where with God. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He's coming pleading before God. If you're lost, that's your only hope. He said, purge me with hyssop. You better ask the Lord Jesus Christ to purge you with his blood. Purge your sins with his blood. And when he does that, David said, if you purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. And when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will be clean as far as God is concerned. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When a man comes to this place guilty, he can return to the days of his youth and his soul and find innocence again in the presence of God. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bone which thou hast broken may rejoice. And he begs, he said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Let me beg each one of you, read this over and over and make this a real prayer in your heart. And renew a right spirit within me. And here he listened. He said, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't cast me away in my sins. He's begging here. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. No, thank you, Holy Spirit, that's convicting me of my sins, because I'll be gone forever. And let me warn everyone, listen, while the Holy Spirit's convicting you, the only time you can come to know God. So don't go on resisting, rebelling against the Holy Spirit of God, but surrender to him. And then when you surrender and you find that you've experienced a new birth, he begs here to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for you if you'll completely surrender to him this morning and listen to that still small voice and repent and forsake all your sins and call upon the Lord until you've made your peace call. And election sure with him, and that's my prayer for each one as I bring this to a close.